Welcome everyone here tonight. Those that are logging on live on our Wednesday night service, I want to say welcome. And today is our question and answering kind of service. But it's also been heavy laden on my heart also to speak about, not only hopefully answer your questions, but what it is to understand knowing my God. Now, a lot of you has been following the ministry and, you know, you probably hear me say my God and kind of just separate myself from the world's God based on religion and things of that nature. But my God is all about relationship, not about traditions or rules and regulations, but all about following the law of your heart, literally, truly. Well, with that being said, and being rooted and grounded in a relationship with my God, you need to become born again. Now, a lot of people have heard this saying before in a lot of other religions, huh? Called born again. And I know it's very common in the Christian religion to be born again, but they misconstrued it. They don't really quite understand what it means to be born again. I have two other pastors with me today, Pastor Tim and Pastor Sam, and they're going to bring in some input on different areas about being born again. And I want to start off with to be born again, you really literally need to tell yourself that you're a new creature, that you are no longer the old self. A new beginning is starting. And the old beginning or the old past, the old life, is something that you have to lay down, lay aside. Stop bringing it up. How many of you understand where I'm going here? Because we tend to wallow in the past. We've all made bad choices. We all made bad investments. We all have done things that we weren't too happy about. And then there's also the other side where we've done really good and we received our glory and we never let go our glory days, and we're living a form of depression because we're not living our glory days. And so we need to become born again in order to really know, and I want to keep saying my God tonight, our God, as the other pastors come up, because they know my God. I had an extraordinary encounter and I became born again. My wife is an example of what happened, because the old man truly was gone. I want Shelly to come and just give the world that's listening a quick definition of what happened to me and how I became a total different new person. If you could just briefly share. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Shelly. She doesn't like when I put her on the spot, but who does?
Good evening, everybody. Yes, Jim had a spiritual encounter where he was literally changed. It was a supernatural experience. One day he was just normal, the guy I married, you know, and went to work every day. He did other things every day, and then he had an encounter with something that was divine, and he is no longer Jim Mandel. He is a new creation, I want to say. He's just somebody that's completely different. He laid his old ways aside. I don't think he did it. I think God did it. God did it. He did something supernatural, something special, and he became a new person.
It was a quick conversion. So explain to them what was I doing and then what exactly happened in the sense that what I wasn't doing. Yeah.
The old man was a person who was, should I say what, everything?
Everything. I'm not here to hide anything. I'm transparent. Yeah. That old man's dead, so it doesn't
The old man is that, you know, he would go hang out at the bars and smoke weed and be into all kinds of other stuff as well. You know, just that's what he did. Oh, rubble, yeah, selfish, sure, selfish. What?
Yeah, just And it would, what was the true evidence that was laid on my heart? My meditation on who God was. I just, my relationship just was like always had God on the lips.
Yeah, one thing I will say, the church did not teach him about God. Like Pastor said, he just meditated on God and he was seeking God, and God poured into him what God wanted him to know, and what God wants to share with us, the world, is what he's sharing with us. And it's not something that can be taught. I will tell you that nothing, he has not studied the Bible. He's not studied. He hasn't gone to seminary. He hasn't done any of those things that the world says you need to do this to be a pastor. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to come under this covering. You need to do that. Whatever. None of it. He's done none of it. God just poured it into him, and he just gives it back to us. I will say that everything he says is fresh. It's from the Spirit of the Lord and nothing else. He doesn't look online and say, okay, I have to give this message. Is there anything out there that I can get from somebody else? It does not happen, because God supernaturally changed this man's life. He was Jim Mandel, the party animal, and now he's Jim Mandel, spiritual man. Everything that proceeds from his mouth is what God wants to say. And he's not the same guy I married. He's not. He's somebody completely different. And it's a good thing. And he's here for everybody. He's here for all of us. He's here for you out there in WW World Wide Web Land. He's there for you guys. So all I can say is, if you have any questions or concerns, this man truly cares for your spiritual welfare, and he wants to see the fullness of God in your life. And if you have any questions, anything, if you have to make a decision about anything, come to him. He's neutral. He doesn't care. He's neutral. He's not swayed this way. He's not swayed that way. He'll seek the Lord on your behalf. But beware, it is not always what you want to hear. Right. My daughter says it's never what you want to hear. But, you know, it's for your benefit.
There you go. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You know, she's probably been through this 100 times, but literally my life completely changed. I was that party animal. I was instantly delivered of alcohol, instantly delivered of drugs. My heart wasn't connected to the things of the world, so to say. I always had a meditation on heaven, and everything that was like at the tip of my tongue was a way of glorifying God, this creator who created us, and I just wanted the world to know it. We've traveled around the world many, many times. God did it kind of backwards for us. We just shot right into the nations and just started jumping on revivals about telling the nations about the God that I experienced, the God of our Creator. I knew it wasn't the God of this world, and I'm going to say the God of this world because of the fact that all the denominations couldn't even help me. And we went to many, many different denominations, many different religions, and tried to seek help as far as the encounter. And no one really wanted to face what was happening. Yet, there was a lot of things that transpired too at the given time. But at the same time, when God changed my life, he spoke directly to my heart and said, I don't want you to change. I want you to be exactly who you are. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, I have to be, you know, trim and proper and the whole nine. And he's like, no, I want you just the way you are. I picked you out of the world just the way you are. And, I just want you just the way you are. Yeah, the only thing that he changed was my desires. Exactly right. Yeah, it was my inner heart. I began to hear him and know him clear within my heart, and I wasn't tormented anymore or trying to figure things out through my mind. And that part of me totally died and was no longer alive. So I died with Christ, and I raised with Christ. But as Shelley was saying earlier, I didn't take any seminars or anything like that. I never went to any Bible colleges or anything. And the reason why she said that was because when I did change, I had the whole entire Word of God, the Scriptures, everything inside of me. I knew everything. I met Pastor Sam back then, and he's like, dude, that's in this here, and that's in this, and that's here, and that's, and what you just quoted is in Corinthians, and that's over here, and I had no clue where any things were, and it was just came totally natural, and the understanding of the mysteries that are in the Scriptures were all given to me. And I know when it happened, because I did meet Jesus, and not many people can actually stand publicly and say they did, and I'm bold to say I did, and my encounter was incredible. But the last words that he said to me after I was sent back was that, go back and tell them about my Father. They're not to be worshiping me. I was the lamb that was slain. I was just used to show the world how to come to the Father and how to build that relationship with the Father. And that creator that created us is considered our Father. So I'm just going to paraphrase that real quick. So when we mention the Father or we mention God or what have you, it's related to the same creator that created the heavens and the earth. There's a lot of false gods out there. And I call the most popular one the pillow god, where everybody tends to just cry to the pillow and, you know, and never changes the way they're thinking. And there's laws in heaven that we have to abide by. And, you know, it's obvious that the Scriptures, you know, read the Bible. If you've read the Bible, one of the Scripture verses, it says, my children suffer or have been destroyed because of lack of knowledge or lack of vision. And it's so true. And so I want to lean heavy tonight on building a relationship with our God. And the only real way to build a relationship with our God is you have to cast all the other gods down. And one of them is the most popular one, the pillow god. And not many people can cast that down because they keep bringing up the past. And it's constantly bringing depression. And I did mention that the past is also the glory days too. How many people have reached or met somebody who was maybe a football star in college or, you know, whatever, and just like their whole life, that's all they talk about. I knew this one guy who was in high school and he's like older than me. I'm 51 now and he's probably 56. And the dude is still living in high school. You know, it's like, come on, you got to get out of high school. You got to let it go. Hey, stay so in touch with the high school friends. And we got to move on. We have to move on. God is living and he's always moving. And the past is like our destroyer. The past will destroy you, whether it's good or bad. God wants us to look forward. He wants us to live the excitement of life. And when we live in the past, we're living mostly in our minds because of memory and things of that nature. But we have to live in our heart, and our heart is fresh. Our heart is alive. Our heart is new. It speaks to you every day. It moves you every day. And you just have to be yielding to it. Not leaning to your own understandings, but you have to feel. And a lot of people can't feel. That's why it's so important for them to know my God. Because you lose feeling. And they lose feeling so bad that they either become comatosed and, you know, all kinds of things. Or the most famous one is a cutter. How many people have ever met a cutter? That's somebody who like slices themselves or, you know, pricks themselves one way or another. They use pins or, you know, I look at people that, you know, and I might get back. I don't mind tattoos and all, but when you have like your whole entire body covered with tattoos, I look at that individual as almost like a cutter, because the pain of getting one, how do you know? They might, you know, and then they look back at it and this one's in the memory of my mother, and this one I have my girlfriend's name on it, and this one on over here is when I was over in Arizona, and you know, what stays in Las Vegas, you know, goes on in Las Vegas, stays in Las Vegas, you know, so you listen to them, and I was a victim of one. I was a victim. I got a tattoo that goes across here, and that one was for my business, you know? No longer exploiting it. I'm kind of like, I'm glad it was put in a way that you don't really see it. But at the same time, listen, there was something I was searching back then. I was searching, and leaned towards pain, leaned towards these things, memories. How many of us have looked back at the past and just tend to mess up our whole day? And then you have to ask yourself, why did you let, I want to say darkness, mess up your whole day? Whether it's good or bad, because if it was good, you wish you had it going on today. And if it was bad, you're kind of condemning yourself. Oh, I shouldn't have done that, and I would have done that, and I could have done that. In order to get a life, we need to live the moment. We need to live the moment. I was sharing with someone earlier about this subject, and it's almost like a spilt glass of milk. How much value do you put on your past? Your cup is spilt. It's over. It's done. Yesterday is gone. How much value do you put on it? Now, you want to deplete that value, and you want to look at your new life, your new relationship as value. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, you know, it's like rise up and walk. You know, we have something very special in us, and I'm hoping and praying that when you begin to understand who my God is, then you begin to understand what's actually living inside of you. Your heart and the commandments that are written on your heart is bringing you into a place of glory. But we have stolen our heart, and we're missing the opportunity of glory. We don't know who the people are that we're going to meet. We don't know the finances that we're going to be able to make and be able to bless other people's lives. We don't know the pleasures and the joys that life is going to take us. We don't know any of this stuff. And because of our past and holding on to the past, we're robbed from it. Because what have we been surrendering to? Mostly fear, worry, anxiety. I don't want to do the same thing twice. I made a mistake. I don't want to make the same mistake. You become more reserved, more protective, more, you're not adventurous anymore. We got to take risks. Think about it. God wants you to walk on water. He doesn't want you. Now, people would say, oh, that's foolish. You know, you shouldn't be walking on water. You know, you really should count the cost and all this other stuff. You know, I don't want to listen to those people, because God is a God of miracles, signs, and wonders, and He wants us to walk on water. You know, I'm going to share something real quick. I was able to have an option of earning some money just the other day, and I was holding on that money for a special occasion, and something came up, and I went ahead and I spent it. Didn't realize it. But then, you know, I felt a little bummed out. I was like, maybe I shouldn't have spent it. But you know what? I felt it to bless my kids and, you know, have a good time, you know, because that's what life's about, to have a good time. And then sure enough, a phone call came in and ended up selling a piece of junk that was in my yard sitting around. And he ended up giving me, you know, twice the amount of what I felt bad spending. So, you know, we can't hold, we got to really tap into your heart. You really got to tap into the desires of your heart and how you feel. If we don't resurrect our feelings, I'm not talking about emotions. Okay, I'm really not talking about emotions. Emotions is a whole different subject, a whole different story. And, you know, one day maybe I'll speak about the difference between emotions and feelings. When you're over emotions, you really can't understand feelings. Emotions are erratical. Emotions are mixed tremendously, born into worry and fear. That's not feelings. Feelings are inspiration. and excitement. Feelings are direction. Feelings are discernment. It has nothing to do about worry and fear and anxiety. They're mixed with emotions. The best thing really is to be around me so that I can speak English, because the things that I know, I don't even quite have all the words for it. I can send one of the girls in or something. They can go,
one of the girls, go grab me a water. Thanks, Tender. Thanks.
And so, but when you become born again and your heart is connected to wanting to know this God, you learn, you need to learn. You begin to learn. Lay things down. And tap into how you feel. Those that have been under this ministry, and there's quite a bit out there that are listening online and those that could be here, understand one another as far as being able to say, well, how do you feel? Like, I know a couple, Pastor Tim's going to be up here in a minute, and he's in the midst of building an addition. And I said to him, how do you feel? You know, and to his wife, how do you feel? Oh, I really want it. I really love it. I can really, you know, it'll really help me out. What are you waiting for then? Walk on water. You see, if you feel that way, then obviously God's given us permission. It's the bottom line. Listen, he turns all things around for the good. If our hearts are truly open to know the Creator, to know God, the way I know Him, my God, you're going to cast down these imaginations. You're going to change the way you're going to be thinking. And Sam's going to tap on, Pastor Sam's going to tap on about the mind and how it's important to change the way we're thinking. And we need to completely understand how to tap into the commandments, the law that's written on our heart, because the law that's written on our heart isn't like do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs. It's like, do you want the room or not? Do you want to go or not? Do you want to spend it? Listen, but I don't have. Do you want it? Do you like it? Do you want it? Do you want it? Yes, I want it. Well, then buy it. Do you like it? Yeah, I like it. Then get it. You never know what God is going to do the next day. You don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. We have to allow him to surprise us so that things can get better. Relationship can become stronger. If God never surprises you and doesn't allow you to see him, how are you building a relationship with him? And he has a design, this incredible mystery, the design of God and the creator that he created us with. This law that's written on our heart is impossible for man. But nothing's impossible for God. So when we yield and worship the commandment written on our heart, we know that we can't do it. We know it's impossible. We know it's, you know, absurd. It just doesn't go the way we planned in the sense of reasoning. But yet we listen and we obey it. And next thing you know, we just see him. We see the glory of God. And so tonight, I want our listeners to really understand, let's become born again. Let's throw the old man out the window and just say, you know what? That wasn't me. I'm a new person today, and the old man is gone. How many of us have relationships or situations that we're tending to still hold on to? It could be marriages, it could be, you know, high school, college, it could be, you know, anything. And you might even say, oh, no, I'm not holding on to anything. But did you ever listen to yourself talk? Huh? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a lot of things we bring up and we talk about the past, whether it's good or bad. We need to talk about what we're going to do today. You know, or what God did. Give a testimony of what God did in your life, You know, and not what you did or what, you know, how you got hurt or whatever. You know, listen, through my life, I've had many, many ups and downs. But you know what? It was yesterday. I can't cry over spilt milk. I look at it as, how much value do you put on your life yesterday? And the way I look at it, the more knowledge I have, the more understanding I have, to be honest with you, it was no value. It was an empty glass that tipped over. You know, it wasn't filled with like liquid gold that I'm really upset that it spilled, you know? And it wasn't spilled with like this real exotic wine or a beer. Remember those days when you spilled your beer, how mad you got? But but at the same time, you know, it wasn't milk, it wasn't water, it was an empty glass. That's how little value that I put on my life in the past. I put greater value in my life now, especially with my relationship that I have with God and what He has given me. I cherish those things. And I hope and pray that you will be like me and throw the old man away, stop putting so much value on it, and look at the value that you're living now with the relationship with God that you can give Him, the testimonies, because that's what God wants. He wants Himself to be glorified. And if you can live your life glorifying Him rather than, you know, complaining or glorifying your old life, you know, you got to watch what comes out of your mouth. You have to weigh your words. And by you watching what comes out of your mouth and weighing your words, that's not like concealing your heart. You know, I want you to go deeper. God knows your heart. So I rather be like loose lips and let everything that's in me just come out. So I'm not hiding anything. I'm very transparent because I want my heart to speak. I always want my heart. I don't want to be reserved. I don't want to put on a facade. I want to be me. And that's how God created me, special, unique. And He gave me a law that is unique, and it's prosperous, and it's a great one, and it's exciting when you yield to it. And like I said, there's a desire that's in you, and you don't even know the color, shape, or form. But God does. And when we yield it, next thing you know, we find out what the color was, we find out what the shape is, and we find out, you know, who it is or who or what or whatever, the relationship, blah, blah, blah. Our minds sicken us, and we end up trapping ourselves through fear and worry. Now, when you do begin to follow your heart, like Pastor Tim mentioned earlier, and he'll be up here speaking, there's a lot of persecution, and you got to learn to stand in who you are and not let the hearsayers and the naysayers beat you up. You just got to say to them, and here's my quick solution to it. That wasn't me. I didn't do it. Go condemn that person. And me? You don't have the mind of God. See ya. What did Peter say to Jesus say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. You don't have the mind of God. When he was trying to save him from going to a different direction, but he was following his heart. And you just got to read the scriptures. And then Sam's going to be up, and he's going to talk today about, you know, how most importantly you need to change the way you're thinking. You got to stop thinking the way you're thinking in order to become born again. You can't bring up the old man. You got to renew your thoughts. And as you renew your thoughts, you know, life becomes better. You know, is your cup half full or half empty? You know, it's just all about that. So I'm going to just call one of the pastors up, whatever one wants to come up first, and they're going to share. So let's give the Lord a hand of praise for Pastor Tim. Amen? Amen. Yeah. My man. Love you, bro.
Hey, thanks a lot. You know, I'm glad we're speaking about being born again tonight, because there's two truths to everything. In this world, you have a darkness and you have a light. Before we become born again, we're living in darkness. All of our belief systems are filtered through darkness, which is reasoning of the mind. And Sam's going to elaborate on it tonight. But through reasoning, you're constantly in a struggle and a battle of is this going to work? Should I go this way in this outcome? Or how's this going to work? How's this going to happen? But when you become born again, God triggers a new life within you, and you see things through a new perception, a new reality. And what it is it's through your heart. Pastor was speaking about the truth that is in your heart, which is the commandments that are written there. And when you become born again, your eyesight, which is spiritual eyesight, actually awakens up, and you see things differently. And with that being said, you walk down a different path where you're actually no longer trying to reason, because you can overcome that now, but you're following a conviction, you're following an inspiration that's within you, and life becomes different. It's totally different. That's why he says you become born again. And in the Bible, there was a guy named Nicodemus, and he asked Jesus, to become born again, what do we got to do? Do I got to enter into my mom's womb again? And Jesus is like, no, change the way you're thinking. It's a simple reality of changing your perception of things. Follow your heart rather than your mind. Because in your mind, it's going to lead you astray. You're going to be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine that's in your mind. It's going to lead you down a different path, and you're going to find turmoil and struggles. But when you follow your heart and you're following a conviction, what happens is you'll start to see miracles, signs, and wonders following you. God, because that's where God is. God's within the heart, and he's within those commandments on your heart, because he placed them there. And when you follow it, he opens up doors that you couldn't even imagine were going to be opened up. And there's passions in there that are stored there waiting for you to be triggered. But when we don't follow the heart, we never can find out what those passions are. You know, because there's fear, worry, anxiety. Those things there are triggered by your mind, and it's causing you to be led astray. It's the darkness that's within everyone. But God says he wants us to overcome. He wants us to overcome the world, but the world is your mind. It's a reasoning. But what's interesting, though, is when you follow your heart and you're walking by truth, okay, and you're following a passion or conviction, what's going to happen is you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be a persecution, not only from people out there that are trying to tell you what to do, but also in your mind there's a persecution. Because that persecution comes from worry, fear, anxiety, lies, you know, things that maybe we've always followed in our life, like the patterns of our mind, and they're coming against the truth that's within us. And there's a persecution that takes place. And God says, you know, persecution is good because you know you're in Christ. When you're getting persecuted all the time, you know you're following a divine nature. You're following a truth that's within you. You're going to receive persecution. For instance, there was a guy last week that plays professional football. I think we've all heard of it through the media, where he took a stand against the national anthem. He sat down when the national anthem was playing, and he got persecuted for his decision to do it. But who's to say he's wrong? If he's following a conviction that's deep within his heart to do it, guess what? I'm not going to sit there and judge him. It's his own individual opinion or his own individual stance, and that's his truth. But the whole world seems to want to judge based on an action. Well, God's saying, you know what? When you follow your heart, you're going to get persecuted. You're going to have troubles, and they're going to come against you. People are going to come against you. Your own mind's going to come against you, but he wants us to stand on the truth, because he put the truth inside of us. He put the conviction inside of us. He put the commandments of your heart inside of you. And that's what he says. If you follow the commandments of your heart, you shall have eternal life. And all of us are seeking to find eternal life. Well, eternal life is within you. He says the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is inside of you. And that's where you got to find it, deep within. You got to find those written commandments on your heart. You know, the church, I hate to say it, but the church has it wrong. The church always says, you need to obey the word of God. And they're holding the Bible up and they're telling you to get into the word. Hey, look. I'm not knocking scripture. We all need scripture to back up a lot of times what our heart is saying through conviction. But the true living word of God that's going to bring you to eternal life is with right here in your heart. You have to obey it. God even says, I desire obedience rather than sacrifice. What is the obedience? The obedience is following the commandments of your heart. That's the obedience he's talking about. Because you know what? When you don't follow your heart, you're living in sin. Because you know why? You're disregarding a conviction. You're disregarding God moving and stirring your heart because now you're following some other god. You know, Jesus even said, are we not all gods? You know why? Because of reasoning. Reasoning, there's so many different gods through our thought processes. You know what? Who are we serving? The only true God that we know is living right here in our heart. And that's the commandments that are written on your heart because God placed them there. And that's the true living God that he wants you to follow, because then he will back up the truth with miracles, signs, and wonders. They shall follow those that believe. What are we believing? We're believing those commandments that are on our heart. We're believing those desires, the unctions, the inspirations, the convictions. That's all truth. That's the only truth that really is what exists. The other truth, that's the reasoning, it doesn't exist. I think Pastor spoke a message several weeks ago that when you come out of this world that we're living in now into a heavenly place, worry, fear, and anxiety does not exist. The reasoning of the mind will not exist. It only exists here in this earth, in this world. That's what the world knows. But the truth that God knows and that we know is living inside of us. It's through the commandments of the heart. And that's what's going to go on for eternity, forever and ever and ever. So with that being said, I know we're getting a little bit short of time. I'm going to call Pastor Sam because I know he's got a message as well. Amen. Amen.
I'll be quick. The truth of it is that God wrote a law, a commandment, a life on every single person's heart in the world. God took you individually and brought you into himself and said, I'm going to write a law. I'm going to write a life. I'm going to give them a life. I'm going to give them this peace, this joy, this life that's beyond anything you could ever comprehend, anything you could ever understand. It's bigger than you. It's going to take God to bring this life. It's going to take God and faith to bring this life he's writing on your heart. But how many people know that the past can really move you? You know, you're going to be moved by something. Something's moving you every day. Something's moving you to do something, to get up or go this way. Something's moving you. And many people forget that the rejection that you go through in your life growing up, rejection from your parents, rejection from your past girlfriend, past boyfriend, your past marriage, whatever it is, that rejection can make you do things that you don't really want to do, can make you think certain ways that you shouldn't be thinking. You know, it's kind of like dating the wrong person. You ever go to that person that's dating the wrong person that keeps being mean to that person and messing them up, and they don't, and you try to bring truth to them, they don't want to hear it. They are so stuck in that person that they think that that's love, but that's all they know. Because abuse is really what the world gives you as love. It's not real love. But you have that boyfriend or girlfriend that you shouldn't be with. And that's most people in the world. They're stuck in this relationship with an abusive something, and it's going to kill them. It's going to kill you. You see, there's always two voices speaking, like Pastor Tim said. There's always two voices speaking. There's going to have a voice of rejection or fear, worry, and anxiety, which leads to death, which is saying, oh, don't go that way. Oh, you can't do that. You don't have enough money. You're fat. You're ugly. He's not going to like you. The lies come into your head and hold you back from the... See, God's voice is a still, soft voice. It's soft. It's quiet. And the only way to hear God's voice is through truth. The only way to hear God's voice is by first quieting the rejection. See, in this place, we give you truth that lets you understand why you're doing what you don't want to do. Paul said, why do I do what I don't want to do? Why do I say what I don't want to say? Why do I keep hurting? Why do I keep following this one person? See, we had a person here Sunday who had a dramatic experience. They really got touched by God in a miraculous way. And the first words out of this person's mouth was, I have this boyfriend or girlfriend that I still want. Oh, yeah, can I get that person? And Pastor said, is that person hurt you? Yeah, they hurt me pretty bad. And you still want that person. Why do you still want that person if all they did was hurt you? See, when you become born again, the rejection is still there. You know, Pastor had a dramatic experience. He was changed miraculously. And thank God, because he's the forerunner for us. God has used him to show us how our patterns are messed up of the past, how our rejection was really moving us. Rejection can move you to the place of following the wrong people, dating the wrong person, going to the wrong job, because you want to see. I even had somebody say to me, you know what, my parents are dead. They died 20 years ago, but I know that they wouldn't want me doing this. They died 20 years ago, but they wouldn't want me doing this, and I'm still trying to please them, and they're dead. See, rejection is a bad, bad, bad thing. It's a liar. And it tells you you need to please everybody but yourself. Everybody but the voice within you. The voice of truth. See, when you follow that voice of truth within you, it's the only way you're going to have peace and joy. And the reason why you don't have it right now is because you're following the lie. You're following that voice of rejection or fear or worry or anxiety. And when you do that, you have no peace. And you have no joy. And you're confused. And you don't know which way to go. And you're sick and tired of doing the same thing every single day. Going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed. Going to work, coming home, watch TV, go to bed. It's a pattern. And it's never going to change until we realize that there's a voice, there's a life inside of you that God gave you. And there's a loving God saying, listen, just give me a chance. Listen to the messages that they're spoken in this church. Listen to them a little bit. Give them one chance. Give it a chance. You're going to hear exactly why you're thinking the way you're thinking. And also the way to get out of it. You're going to get truth in here that's going to bring you to a place of understanding and starting to identify the voice of God within you. Starting to identify that pattern, that path for your life that's going to bring you to a place of peace and joy. And bring you out of the poverty you're in, or the debt that you're in, or the bad relationship, or the bad job, or the whatever you're going through that's tearing you apart and stealing your peace and stealing your joy. There's a truth that's spoken in this place that I haven't heard anywhere else in the world. When I met the pastor here, Pastor Jim, he didn't know the Bible, but I did. I knew it intimately. Tim knows the Bible intimately. And everything he was saying was scripture. But it was more loving than what I knew. See, you can interpret the scripture any way you want. You can interpret any way. You can make it say anything you want it to say, the scriptures, to fulfill your needs or what you're trying to convey. But every time he gave me a scripture, it was love and compassion and forgiveness. And said, listen, no matter what you ever did in the past, doesn't matter. It's all washed away. It's all gone. So let it go. Let the rejection go. And I didn't know how to let the rejection go. So he kept speaking and speaking and speaking. And I started understanding and getting more and more and getting more and more. And I guess started believing what I was hearing because, you know, faith comes by hearing. If you hear enough truth instead of the lies, it feeds your spirit. Your spirit's crying out saying, yo, the reason why you're not happy is because you're not following me. The reason why you have no peace and joy is because you're letting rejection and fear and worry move you every day and hold you back from me. Hold you back from my path for your life of peace and joy and happiness. It's a miracle what God's doing in our lives because we have adopted this truth. And have listened to it more. And the more you listen to it, the more it becomes concrete. The more it builds your foundation. And the easier it is to find truth in every circumstance. Because the lie is always going to try to come in. The lie is always going to try to come in no matter what. It's going to try through your head. It's going to try to make you reason. Make you doubt. But the truth is that still soft voice in your heart saying this is the way. Truth, peace, happiness. That still soft voice. And the only way to hear it is by quieting down the lies. And in this ministry, we preach how to quiet the lies. We preach how to stop the lies from moving you to the path of destruction. He said, my children are destroyed. Destroyed because of lack of knowledge. My children are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. My children are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. I'm not saying it's about brains. I'm saying it's about truth. And it's so easy to get this truth. You have to log on to the website, glorytothenations.org. Listen to the messages. Get in here if you can. This place will change your life. This place will let you find a life. You'll finally hear the voice of God inside of you that leads you to peace. See, as soon as you hear that voice and you recognize it and you become shocked, you become enamored, that's born again. You are aware that God is aware of you. You are aware that God is aware of you. You really believe that God loves you and that he wrote a path for your life inside your heart. And all we do here is help you find your path. And we stop you from going down the wrong path by truth. See, we don't do anything. We just say, listen, and then you follow your heart. We're not going to push you and say, no, you fool. We're going to say, this is the truth. We can lead the horse to water, but we can't make it drink. We have the truth in here to set you free from everything you're going through. The truth in here to let you understand why you're going through it. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? It's no longer me, but the wounds that live inside of me, the rejection, the pain that you have from the past that's moving you. And what I'm saying to you is give this place a chance. It's the only chance you have. You keep trying the same things over and over. Listen to this person. Listen to yourself. Listen to the voice of God inside of you. You don't need anybody else. When God shows you his heart, shows you his voice, and you finally hear it, you're good. You're done. It's finished. And you will find life because it says, he who began a good work in you, he will be faithful to complete it until the end. And that's what God's saying to everyone out tonight who's suffering, because we're all suffering. We're all suffering with lies. We're all following. Listen, a lot of people are following the wrong voice. It's leading you to pain. If someone's abusing you, get out of the relationship. It's not rocket science. It's common sense. You shouldn't be abused. If your parents are abusing you, walk out. God will open every door that you need. If you step in faith and trust God, he will get you out of the situation. Stop fearing about what's going to happen if you make a move. God's saying, make a move and watch what happens. Watch what I do. I guarantee you make a move, God will meet you right where you step and take you by the hand and set your life up and say, this is the path for you, more than you could ever ask or imagine, more peace and joy than you could ever imagine, no more suffering. Please, if we could beg you on our knees, we would. We're not prideful. We have nothing to gain from you coming in here and us helping you find the path of God for your life. What's it going to help us? You're going to find the path? You can go. You can go live your life. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. But you'll be free. And you'll probably come back because you realize what it means to be free and you want to help others. Because it becomes about selflessness and not about you anymore and not your selfishness. That's it. We want you to have eternal life. We want you to have peace right now, though. You don't have to wait until you die. I had somebody say to me, oh, I can't wait till I die. Oh. What do you think is going to happen if you leave here miserable? It's going to be some miraculous change. You're going to be happy all of a sudden. You get to hell. Oh, screw everybody. I'm in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Life is wonderful. But when you're on earth, oh, you dirty scumbags. Come on, people. Let's wake up now. Let's wake up. Give this place a chance. Give it one chance. Listen to one message through its entirety. Give it the whole message. Don't listen to 5 minutes. Give it the whole message. And watch what happens to you. I guarantee. I gave this CD to my cousin. He drove home. I didn't know why I gave it to him. He was a mess. Next day, he comes to me crying his eyes out. This CD, something happened. God touched me, and now I know he's alive. And his life was changed forever. He still talks about it. He's still doing good. He's still thinking right. It takes one touch from God so you can realize that he's alive and that he's here for you. And he has a life for you. Don't miss it.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. You know, one of the things is to be instructed and then to believe. Sometimes it's hard to believe that you can actually have a life, especially when you're dealing with depression, especially when you're dealing with sadness, you know, when you're really not, you know, sometimes people confuse it with boredom, you know, and they just have to learn how to rest and not be anxious for anything. I look at when people are bored or depressed or unhappy, I look at it as God's just trying to show them how to cast down anxiety and not be anxious for anything. Learn to settle down. Be patient. Just meditate. Just put your thoughts up above. Meditate on the good things. Look at some birds. Watch them fly. You know, look at how nice the day is. Or find some good things to meditate on, and you will watch how your heart will begin to change. A lot of times, a little leaven spoils a whole bunch. And we might have a boring day, so to say. And then our mind starts telling us, this is no good, this is, I want something to do, there's nothing to do, there's nothing here, I can't do that. You know, and your mind just kind of empowers that boredom, that lonesome, that sadness, that when we got to say, no, listen, something's going to happen within some time of the day, you know, everything's going to be okay. You know, we got to cast down the lies and the imaginations because they're building a forest of depression and they're building a seeds, you know, a whole garden of like sadness. And has anyone ever met somebody in like that where it's like, what are you sad about? You know, you've got a lot going for you. You just seem kind of in a lulled state, you know? And I realized that person allowed their thoughts to overcome them and has brought in, you know, within the day, you know, boredom or unhappiness or something where they just have to break it away. They just have to tear it down and break it away. And, you know, maybe they might need to watch a movie or listen to a song or, you know, try to play an instrument or, you know, or look at the birds, you know. Entertain yourself. Help somebody. That tends to help too. You know, if somebody might need some help, and you know, don't say no. Just say, okay, sure, I'll help you. Whatever you want to do, it don't matter. I'm not doing anything anyhow. Sure, why not? You might find things in life to break those patterns. I look at it now that it's probably the greatest gift not to have anything to do. Literally, my life was so busy, I needed five of me. And I was torn from every direction. And now, it took a while for me to settle down, but to not have something and I can actually sit for, you know, a half hour, an hour, to look at the birds or something, or just sit in a chair in the shade and just say, wow, this is a really nice day, you know, this is nice. is probably one of the greatest gifts that anyone can really ask for. How many people understand what I'm saying here? Amen. So, my desire for tonight is that we all get a life. We all get this life that we're talking about. You know, Sam brought good points tonight about changing the way we're thinking and logging onto the website because we need these messages. Pastor Tim, you know, brought good messages about persecution because a lot of people are going to be like, what are you wasting your time? You should be out there doing something when you're, you know, and you want to just sit there and relax and meditate on good things. You know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. I have three children that I love very dearly, and each one of them have their own different character. And I have to accept their character. And if one just wants to sit there and do nothing, then that's fine with me. If one wants to run around and be giddy all day, that's fine with me. If one wants to just, you know, go up in her bedroom and listen to YouTube and sing all day, that's great for me. You know, it's okay. I'm not going to make any one of them do something that they just don't want to do. But what does sadden my heart is when they come to me and say, I'm bored. Or, I don't know what to do. I don't feel like doing it. It bothers me. And the reason is because if we don't have knowledge, we don't know how to fight the war. And a little leaven comes in and they start attacking our heads. And I need to show them more and more every day how to war against the thoughts in our minds so that we can war against them. And listen, there's probably a lot of children out there, you know, listening to this website too. And this usually attacks kids at the end of summer when they already have done everything they possibly could have done in the beginning of summer. And now it's almost start to school and they just don't know what to do with themselves. And so they're like, oh, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. You know? And we as parents seem like we got to run them around and occupy them all the time and be like mom, dad, taxis and stuff. And then we rob ourselves from a life and because we're catering and we have to straighten ourselves out. We got to stop catering. We got to stop, you know, running. And we got to think about ourselves and tell them to go get a life. No matter how young they are. And I say it to my girls all the time, yo girls, you gotta learn how to get a life, you know? Cast out imaginations and get a life. And if we can like put that in them at a young age, it's gonna help them as they get older because they're gonna remember, hey, I gotta get a life. And then when they get a life, then they're gonna start feeling what they feel. You know, what do you feel? What do you feel like doing? I feel like making a banana. All right, well then go find how to make a banana split, you know, and make one or something, you know. What do you feel? And tap into what they feel and try to get them to live their feeling. And that in itself is born again. That in itself is learning how to hear the voice of God. That in itself is something that we all need to get a hold of and learn as young as we possibly can. So we don't develop some bad patterns. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and continue to log on our Wednesday nights. And we do have Sunday mornings. Worship is at 10 o'clock, which is song and meditation. Rachel and Jim lead worship. And actually, my girls are singing. And Mary Lou, she sings with us. And it's truly a great time to just soak in the presence of the Lord and get set up. And Dennis is in there, and he plays the drums. He does an awesome, good job there. And then it gets us ready for the service on Sunday morning, which is 11 o'clock. Amen. God bless.